Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, I'd like to continue on on the subject of the eyes. It is said that the eyes are the windows of the soul. They're the light of the soul, if you will. And the purpose of my sharing, we looked at some negative things that Jesus counseled us to avoid as Christians. He said things like fornication, adulteries, thefts, murders, they defile, or an evil eye defile a man. But we want to look now in a positive way about not just the physical eye, but our spiritual eye. What does the Word tell us about what we should be looking at? And when we look, just relate first of all to natural things, when we look full into the face of another person, if you look perhaps intently or directly into their eyes, that is something that is not done in casual encounters or with strangers. It's generally considered impolite to do that. And this is a social custom we have. To do anything else is brazen or rude or discourteous or disturbing. In fact, I was just reading this morning as I was reflecting on this message that there was a Center for Multicultural Studies coming out of Utah, the Department of Health, and it was highlighting the differences between Euro-Americans, in other words, the Western civilization and our Judeo-Christian culture, Europe and Britain, and of course, we came over from Britain, so Euro-Americans, as opposed to Native Americans. And just in this one aspect, there are many different ways. There's quite a contrast. But Euro-Americans would prefer direct eye contact, maybe not just with a stranger, but when you're meeting someone, because that shows or indicates honesty or sincerity. So when you're able to look somebody in the eye, that's our culture, right? That we would know that they're honest and you could perhaps trust them to some measure. And for example, if someone will not look directly in your eye, they tend to be shifty, or you don't tend not to trust them because they're not willing to look you straight in the eye. Whereas Native Americans, they would avoid eye contact, especially meeting someone, because that shows respect. They would just sort of glance in their direction, sort of over the shoulder, but not maintain that direct eye contact. And that's just a difference of culture. But why is that? The principle is that when you look directly into the eyes of someone or intently, that is something that's very personal. And if a stranger does it, it's somewhat disturbing because it's just discourteous. There's something unnatural because, at least in our culture, we avoid that kind of direct eye contact unless we're meeting someone where it's an invitation to become a friend with someone or to meet an acquaintance. There's something very personal, very intimate about a sustained look into the eyes of another person, unless that gaze is invited and sought after. Normally, we reserve that kind of direct eye contact only for family or loved ones or dear friends. And so it's quite interesting that the eyes tell a lot about a person. And I can remember years ago when I was in Bible college, I was in Oklahoma, and I stayed my last year at a kennel, Valiantale Kennels, and it was interesting learning some of the aspects of these breed dogs. They were purebred German Shepherds and also into Schutzhund training, but you did not want to directly give an eye contact with a dog that was considered aggressive. And especially if that animal was being defensive, you would not want to engage eye contact. And on the other hand, if an animal is staring directly at you, that could be a sign of aggression. So it's very interesting. Even in the animal world, there is some measure of the use of the eye and a stare or direct contact by the eye. Anyway, where am I going with all of this? Well, let's go to the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 22. Jesus spoke of the eye as the light of the body. And he goes on to share these words. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? He was speaking to his disciples. And of course, we see Jesus referring to the eye, or our sense organ of sight, in a figurative sense. And basically, in other words, not literally. He was trying to make a point. He was using an illustration. The eye in this context is an avenue of moral perception or an illustration of our mind. So let's now look at what God has to say about the eye in Scripture. And I think you'll find it very fascinating, as I took some time when I was developing this message, some very fascinating things about the eye of the Lord and about our eyes in relation to the Lord. Now, in Scripture, we see in the book of Revelation 3:18, Jesus is speaking, and he says, I counsel thee to anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And he's talking here about, he's illustrating anointing your eyes with eye salve, that we have to appropriate the healing, the provision provided by the atonement. It's not automatically forced on us. He says, this is something you do. I'm advising you, I'm counseling you that you anoint your eyes with eye salve, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that eye represents, that figurative, that spiritual eye represents healing and illumination by the Holy Spirit. Here's another example of spiritual illumination when our eyes, our spiritual eyes, are open. Psalm 119, 18 and 37 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Here in this case is obviously not the physical eye, you're reading words, but open up the spiritual eye to behold understanding and revelation of the things of God. That verse 37 in that same psalm says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Hallelujah. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Hallelujah. And then that passage, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are open to their cry. But what I want to do now is share some very precious thoughts that God has given us in the book of the Song of Solomon. We want to look at the eyes of the Lord, because that book talks about a bridegroom and his bride. And the Song of Solomon, if you will, it's a lyric poem in dialogue form describing the king's, the Solomon's love for a Shulamite girl. The king comes in disguise to her family's vineyard. He wins her heart and ultimately makes her his bride. And in terms of spiritual significance, it's an allegory. It's a story. It's a parallel description, if you will, representing the holy love that exists between God and his chosen people, God and his Israel, which he's never deserted, or between the bridegroom, who is Christ, and his beloved bride, which is the church or the body of Christ. And of course, we know today that that body of Christ consists of Jew and Gentile. God is bringing his members fitly framed together into his body, as one new man. And haven't you in your life experienced the power of the eye? If you have a child, if something happens that your child's eye darkens with disappointment, and he or she is sad, what do? We indulge that desire. Or if a sick person gazes so sadly at our departure that we turn back and we just can't leave right then, we have to stay just a little while longer. The eyes of those we love master us. Think about that. When someone you love looks at you straight, dead in the eye, they're talking to you, they're communicating with you. And what happens if that beloved eye begins to form a tear? What happens? We yield at once. We cannot endure that the beloved eyes that we care for so much, that beloved person should weep. It hurts our heart. Now, having just set a foundation, if you will. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to go directly to the Song of Solomon, and we're going to be learning some precious truths about the Lord Jesus Christ, about our soon coming bridegroom. But in the moments that remain, I do invite you to write and share your prayer requests. I love to extend an opportunity for you to be on the mailing list. It's my spiritual family, and I send out every month something that will encourage, inspire, or perhaps give a bit of humor. And UCM partners, I do want to thank you for your faithful prayers, your support, your letters of encouragement, and I just am praising God for the wonderful answers to prayer that are coming as a result of our agreeing prayers. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.